Bonjour.
Not late. I'm
Bonjour,
here.
mon frère. How are you? How are
How's
you,
it going?
brother?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. Surviving, surviving. How's things? Can you
Yeah,
hear
no
me?
problem. Yeah, I can hear you. It's all good now. I don't know what you've
Okay.
done to your Wi-Fi.
I'm just not in my house. That's what I've done to my Wi-Fi. I'm just not in my house, you know? I'm with Charles.
Oh, okay.
Shout out
Well, you
Charles
too,
out.
jumping on.
What? No, but it's just me, just me, just me. Charles is doing some shit right now and stuff, but yeah, it's just me. How's it going?
No, it's all good, bro. Like, we had to. I'm gonna start back where we finished off because I had to cut you off because of the timer.
Well, yeah, exactly. All right, let's go.
But
Where we finish up
so
again?
I said to you, what was the best club you've DJed in terms of
Ooh.
atmosphere, and then
Yeah,
one in
I had a
terms
big.
of
Ooh.
like the crowd and lighting and everything, just all together.
Right. It's a hard one, Rolf. No, you know what, to be honest with you? No, to be honest with you, yeah. Avoiding Mykonos for me when it comes to kind of like the lighting, the space, the crowd. Yeah, avoiding Mykonos, definitely. Like 100%.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, for me, like, as a club in terms of like design and everything, like, yeah, this one is definitely like somewhere else. It's really like, it's totally different. You know what I mean? The way they work out the space, like everything, even the VIP upstairs, like, yeah. And then in London, again, like I'm from that background of that big clubs.
Yeah.
So for me, I like big clubs. So when I arrived in Café de Paris, it was just like the space was amazing. They put you on top of like the crowd and stuff. You can see everything. So you can't,
Do you prefer the
you can't
booths
mess
that
up.
are high up and not just in the crowd, or do you like the booths that are in the crowd as well? Or...
Well, it's a lot better if you have a booth that is actually high up because you can see the crowd.
Yeah.
So you can actually correct what you're doing. For example, if you play some hip hop or R&B and you can see that you start playing some reggaeton and bashment and people are going crazy, is that cool? But then like, if you start playing house and you see people are running to the bar or running away, it's just, all right, cool. Well, let me correct that and come back to that, what I was doing before, compared to where you are kind of on the level. I mean, I'm small, okay? So I can't see that far. Okay, so
Bro, I'm
like,
small as well. How tall are you?
yeah, I mean, I can't really see that far. So for me, it's just like, right, okay, cool. Yeah, no, the higher the better. You know, the
Yeah,
higher the
Jordan,
better,
no
honestly.
requests. You don't get trouble with requests like.
Hey,
All right, you know
listen,
what? What's it gonna be
like,
like after Corona? Yeah, like there's gonna be like, is there no request where you have to stand like 2 meters away? Like, pass me the
no,
phone.
listen. Right. Listen, again, like I was saying last week or the week before, is like, it's not really about no requests and stuff. It's just knowing where you're going to. It's a
Yeah.
bit like watching TV. Do you see what I mean? Like, I don't know, if I put MTV on, I know I'm gonna get a certain type of music.
Yeah.
MTV don't play any music anymore. They only have shows, right? But let's say if you play, I don't know, like Channel 5 or Channel 4, you'll have all these shitty shows. So you kind of like switching on your TV screen, knowing what to expect, kind of thing. You see what I mean? Right. So when you go to a club, let's say if you go to a house club, or you don't just jump into any club. Okay. So let's say if you go to Ministry of Sound and you see this is a house night and they have like Chucky playing or David Guetta or whatever, you're like, all right, okay, cool. You can't just turn up to the DJ. Oh, by the way, yeah, do you have any Aretha Franklin or some AT shit? You can't do that. You know what I mean? It's just like, no. Of course, there is requests. You can request anything you want, it's fine.
This guy gone already. Oh my God. But I thought you said you moved house, bro. Like, why? What, Charles's Wi-Fi moving mad as well? Right, let me know. I think that's his. I think that's his Wi-Fi. I think that's him. I don't know. Let me know. This guy telling me Charles, he was like, oh, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's actually gone. He's gone. Oh, this guy telling me he's upgraded his Wi-Fi. McDonald's Wi-Fi. What? I don't understand. This guy's telling me, oh, Charles. I'm blaming Charles's Wi-Fi now. I'm blaming Charles. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, we got Amy inside as well. Why, Jordan? I don't know what's going on. Oh, this guy. No, okay, right, he's back. Let's see what's happening. I can't believe we've done a part two in this exact. Bro, I need. Let me put Charles. Switch the phone to Charles. Let me talk to him. What's going on?
He can't tell you himself.
All right, bro. What's going on with the Wi-Fi? What's going on with the Wi-Fi? Damn. Right, what's up with the Wi-Fi?
What's the common denominator here?
Charles. Charles.
My house doesn't work. What's the common denominator? Your house, bro.
How's it my house? Bro, I've done like 100 interviews. I've never had this problem like this. You know the common denominator there. It's the West End boys. It's the West End boys here. It's like that's the common denominator.
Definitely not. But yeah, like honestly, just to go back to what I was saying, instead of like. You kind of like need to know about the requests and stuff, even after the corona. I always take requests as long as it makes sense with the club you're playing at. Do you see what I mean? Now, if again, if you have a client that has got a show and the guy wants to have the national anthem of Russia, yo, the guy is paying.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, let's go. You know what I mean? We're talking about money here. Like, we're not like some like. I'm not here to educate people in the clubs I'm playing at. I'm not here for that. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's not my job. If I want to educate people, I have a radio show and I'm educating people. Today, most young girls on Spotify, they're all on some like next stuff. They're all on some like TikTok or whatever. That's what they want to hear in a club because that's what they listen to. So it's kind of like you can be here on some, oh, well, you're a jukebox or whatever. I'm like, no. It's got nothing to do with that. It's what we call the market. This is what the market demands. So
I know you're a businessman. So how are you gonna take?
Tell me,
huh?
Tell me.
What's your business proposal? Like, how are you gonna take DJing after this to the level where it's gonna be sustainable for as long as possible? Like, are you keeping it under wraps or how?
Okay, right. This is my point of view. You only engage my point of view, right?
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, if you're good, don't worry about it. You see what I'm saying? If you're a good DJ, do not worry about it. Seriously. Don't even stress about it. Do what you was doing before. Do it better. Market yourself. Make sure you go out there and play left on center, whatever. But like, you know, a lot of people, they kind of like thinking differently right now. They're like, oh yeah, after we're going to come back or whatever. When we're going to come back, it's still going to be the same world. Nothing's going to change. What's going to change? You're going to wear a mask for like maybe like 6 months. And then you're going to put that out the window. Okay, cool. And then back to square one.
People are you even going to wear a mask?
You see what I'm saying? Well, I think, I don't know what most clubs are going to do, but you can't really have a nightclub with social distancing. It's just not going to work. You see what I mean? Like, especially with young people, like young, horny, and drunk people, it is, no. You know what I mean? You can't have social distancing. No, but let's get
real. It's true.
The minute you're going to have a chick that is a bit drunk, a guy that is a bit drunk, and they're horny and stuff, like, they're gonna jump on each other. Let's get real here. We're gonna do, you know, like for I personally, I believe that most clubs, some of them will wait till the social distancing is kind of like, you know, removed.
Yeah.
Some of them will open because they have to open. They have bills to pay or whatever. A lot of bars will reopen, but in terms of DJing, like I would say, if you're good and if you know how to market yourself and you know how to go out there, you don't have to worry about it. You see what I'm saying? You really don't have to worry. You know, like most businesses right now, they are going through a phase when it's just like, okay, cool. So we're going to have to get rid of people. We are going to have to get rid of our offices because obviously, like after the staff, the rent for some office space is kind of like, you know, it's expensive. But
yeah,
most businesses will go back and will do the same thing as before. They will cut down costs for maybe like 2, 3, 4 years. But I think a lot of things change. But when it comes to DJing, is that people, since the beginning of time, always wanted to go out. Before there was DJing, you have bands playing in the middle of nowhere. Do you see what I mean? Like, that's the reality of it. People will always want to go out. This is why, like, today, for example, you see people having raves. They're having raves that, you know, like, hardcore rave in parks, left, right, and center. That's what's going on right now. And this summer, that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
More and more raves. Yeah, and they know that they're going to have to open somehow because there will be no control.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? That's the problem. You have no control. Like, you have to understand that with once you bring rave, you bring a lot of drugs and alcohol without any control.
Mm.
Once you have that in a club or in a bar or in a pub or whatever,
there will be no control.
That's what I mean. So even for them, they're going to get to a level like, you know what, actually, like, yeah, it's maybe we need to open right now. That's what's going
to
happen.
They're going to need to, because where are they going to get the, they need the money, they need the revenue. And well, especially if they know that everyone's doing these raves, right? If they know all, and even if they know the market is there, like, the market's always going to be there, right? Especially in this time, because everyone's going to want to go out. So they're going to look at it and be like, okay, well, everyone's in the park getting pissed. Why can't we open our bar, which is right next to the park, to get those people into the bar?
Right. Okay. I understand what you're saying, but the truth is that don't really work that way. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, when you go back to the control of things, is you have to understand that you need to have a license. Okay. The license you're paying for it. Okay. So you have social distancing. Okay. You have all these measures in place. Now, these guys who are doing these raves, they are doing this rave on like, okay, cool, let me hook up my friend, let me hook up a sound system quickly, whatever, and we're having a rave in the middle of nowhere. Okay, cool. But you have all the risk involved. Do you see what I mean? Because you're going against the government guidelines, not those.
Guidelines. Yeah.
Big difference. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? But the main thing is this. You can't sell alcohol. You're not allowed to sell alcohol. So it's like, okay, cool. Everybody's going to bring their alcohol. Okay, but right now you have a law that says, or a guideline that says, well, it's 6 people per houses, 6 people in a park or whatever. So you can't really have this big gathering of group, this big group gathering and stuff. So it's kind of like finding a solution for bars and pubs to open all at the same time, but gradually. For example, now, if you're looking at what's going on in France, from the 4th of July, they will be able to actually open bar because obviously they're looking at the figures. You have less and less people being affected. So now they're like, okay, cool, we're going to open bars and we're going to open clubs with a capacity of 200 people. That's from July, which is in 3 weeks' time. But when you look at the figures in France, you have a lot less people getting affected by it. So they can talk about reopening.
That's because they did the lockdown properly. That's why. They went proper into lockdown.
That's what I mean. So over here as well, you have to understand, you know, you have like, you had 10 years of like cut down for the NHS or whatever. And today you see the consequences. So I hope over here, we're going to be able to open club normally by the end of September, beginning of October. But, you know, by then you're going to have to help all of these establishments because they have a rent to pay and the rent ain't cheap. And the rent is not cheap.
Are you trying to go back to France or go somewhere else to get the sets?
Well, no. I'm taking a long holiday. I'm going to go to Paris at the end of the month.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a long holiday for like 2 months and come back in September. That's it. That's the only thing to do.
So I'm not going for work as well, or just chill?
Chill in my house, in my yard, chilling. That's it. That's going to be me. Like,
have you not had enough of that? You know, you've done like 6 months of that. You've done like 4 months of that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, yes, but I would still be online. I would still be doing Zoom. I would doing the parties with 6 clubs and stuff. Like, we still have that going on. That's going pretty well and stuff. So, yeah, that's going to be me right there.
So,
but for a lot of people, it's going to be difficult.
So, I've got news that, obviously, okay, so One Ibiza's opening in July. Marbella's opening in July. Will you be the type, like, are you against DJs going out there and DJing there? Or is it like, are you like, no, cool, do your thing?
Listen, if I receive a phone call tomorrow to go and DJ to any of these places, I'm there. 100%. I'm like, yo, let's go. Do you see what I mean? Like, for me, like, there's DJing and the safety of everyone. What's more important? The safety of everyone. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as, like, they know that everything is in place and everyone is safe, including the DJs, I'm there. Why would I hate on somebody else going to do a job in another country? Makes no sense. You know what I mean? Like, you have to support the guy and be awesome. Lucky you can go and do it this year. Good. You know, by next year, obviously, hopefully, everything will be back. But, like, this year right now, it's just, like, it's a bit of a mess. But I reckon by September, you know, by September, you'll be able to go to these places and stuff and be safe. That's what I think. You know?
Do you see any new venues opening up in the West End? Or because I know there was a couple new ones coming up. Or do you think they're not going to actually open up?
I have no idea. But in the West End, I would say, like, some places, clubs. I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know the financial situation of some of these clubs. I don't know exactly how much rent and how much money they have on the side to pay the rent. Do you see what I mean? The rent of the West End is quite expensive. I don't know how much money they got for their businesses to kind of like cover the costs and stuff. So it's a difficult one, you know. But to open a club right now in the West End, I would say, it's gonna be hard.
It's a lot of money.
It's not even a lot of money. It's kind of like, first of all, you're going to have a lot less students, because a lot of students, I was talking to a lot of guys and girls, and they were telling me, like, yo, I'm not coming back this year. I'm going to be back next year. You know what I mean? Like, literally, because the way, like, they see the way the government ends on the stuff, they're just like, oh, okay. So it's a bit weird. Then you have the footballers. The footballers right now, they are getting tested for Corona left, right, and center. And so I'm like, yeah, well, okay, cool. You are getting tested. You are a footballer. Make sure you don't go to a club and catch anything, because if you catch anything, is that you will not be able to play, and we are paying you X amount of money to come and play every week. So we're not going to allow you to go to a club.
Yeah.
That's B. Okay. Then you have all the tourists who are coming over on a regular basis and stuff. Like, these guys on some, like, yeah, we're going to come when it's safe, but they need to open the border. Do you see what I mean? Then there's
and also, the factor. But then also you got the, where you have to self-isolate for 14 days. So who's got the money to self-isolate to 14 days, you get me? Especially if they're staying in a hotel in central London. That's massive money.
That's what I mean. Obviously, that rule will stay on forever. You know what I mean? It will stay on, hopefully, for a month, maybe for 2 months, you know what I mean, at the most. But it takes time for the economy. You know, if you look at the stock market, for example, the stock market, after every single crisis, took about between 3 and 3.5 years, okay? Yeah. Now, with the amount of money that the Fed injected in the government and the BCE injected in the different European countries, you have to understand they're trying to kind of like pump money into the system to make sure that people keep their job. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people obviously like it's not real money because there's no money traveling around. There is no money floating around. Okay. So they try to keep it like this for like as long as possible. But there will be a time where, for example, they will actually come out of the furlough scheme. And once they're going to come out of that, a lot of companies will realize, well, okay, cool, well, we can't keep these people.
Yeah, we can't. So yeah, you've got to leave.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to leave and stuff. And that's going to affect, that is going to trickle down to each and every single businesses, including clubs, including restaurants. You see what I mean? And this is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about last week again. It's like, well, guys, let's get real. You will not be able to get the same amount of money you was getting literally like
before.
3 months ago. Because we are not on the same level. Even if we are operating in a different market, that different market rely on the money of floating around. That's the reality of it. You know? So
okay, so you see with the market here, right? Do you ever see yourself going back home and staying there and doing your DJing over there? Or do you think the money is still going to be here in the future? And do you think the opportunities are still going to be here in the future?
I'm gonna put it this way. Okay, and I'm getting real with you, yeah? We are on a planet called Earth, okay?
Yeah.
No club in the world or no market in the world pay more than England. Straight up, okay? There's like, you know, for normal DJing or whatever, none. How do I know that? Because I'm dealing with DJs from all over Europe. And when I'm comparing the fees, these clubs and in London, it's two different worlds. But you have to understand, you have way more money in London. Way more. The market is a lot bigger. You see what I mean? Clubs like, for example, like all these private members clubs that we have in London, we have about 10 of them. We have about 10 or 15 of them. Clubs who are making literally between 6 and 10 mil a year. Okay? Now, you go to Paris, you only have 2. You see what I mean? You go to Barcelona, you only have 1. You see what I mean? Like, you go to Switzerland, you only have 1 or 2. So you cannot compare.
Gilets jaunes.
You know what I mean? Like, la crise, la crise, la crise. But yeah, you cannot compare the market.
Yeah.
You cannot compare the market that we get, the money that we get over here in London or all around England what's going on in Europe. Do you see what I mean? He's not comparable. I know exactly how much money some of the top DJs are making in Paris, in Barcelona, in Italy, whatever. I know how much they're making. When they come to London, they're like, what the fuck is going on? It's very simple. You have way more money. The market is a lot bigger. You know what I mean? But the reason being is because the tax over here, you can pay a lot less tax if you know how to do it. Now, in all these other countries, you can't. So, obviously, you get a lot of tax, and these are socialist countries, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know?
Keep for Giorgio makes money.
There's no money right now. No money.
You're probably making money while saying this thing, man. Probably you're making money while talking about this. Okay, so because Charles is here as well, yeah, I'm gonna ask this question. Yeah. What makes Charles a better DJ than you, and what areas are you better at DJing than Charles? And what Charles?
No, 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 but I was always able...
All right, Charles, get in the phone. Charles, get in.
No, it's been a very amicable
Wait.
He's better than me.
No, that's not true.
So why is it, Charles, you've been in for 18 years?
No, no, it's not. Listen, but I always said it. And everybody said, listen, I don't care. It's not because it's there. This is what I always said. It's kind of right. For me, it's all about the selection. The selection. I don't care if you can scratch like QT. I don't care. I do not care. Oh, trust me. Like, for me, I love scratching. I love it. I love it. But when it comes to the selection, he's way better than me. You know why? Because sometimes I come to his house and the guy is listening to some fucked up shit. I'm like, the fuck is this? I'm like, what is this? So he's just like, yeah, this is track, whatever. It's because during the day, he literally take the time to listen to an entire album, to listen to some kind of like fucked up shit I don't even fucking think of. You see what I mean? Yeah. He'll be like, yeah. So I listen to that new shit that came out in Paris right now. That's a big shit. In Spain, man. I'm like, why the fuck are you listening to that? Can you not fucking listen to fucking, like, what is wrong with you? You see what I'm saying? But whenever I come here, remember, it's true. Whenever I come here, he listens to some different shit. And also with him, he has got, like, when it comes to, musical knowledge, which is the 80s, 70s, things that I may be struggling. I might know the big hit and stuff. I might go and kind of, like, download some shit or whatever. But he will know it. Even to a point when I forget about it, I might sing it to him and be like, yeah, that is that. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? Like, shit, like, get a life. You know what I mean? like, get a life. But that to me, that makes him a better DJ than me. Way better DJ than me, which is compared to me. She said, I can play here, I can play old school, I can do that or whatever. But when it comes to action, that's the key. And like, once you have that, you can just play anywhere. You know what I mean? You're not scared of anything. You know what I mean? Like, well, last week or 2 weeks ago, playing for the birthday party for 10 years old kids in New York. On some, wait, bruv, like, that was me. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, wait, 10 years, kid is 10, then you want me to go and DJ for him? I'm not doing that. But he had that knowledge on some, what do 10 years old kids are listening to that? You know what I mean? And that's more important than anything.
You know what? That is true. Because if you're educating yourself, especially on what he was doing with the 11-year-old kid birthday, educating yourself on what they listen to.
Wait, hold on, before you even go there. I know what an 11-year-old kid listens to. I know what their parents listen to. So, I'm not... guys, yeah? Before we start spreading some wild rumors about me, yeah?
You know,
you start doing that kind of shit, understand. That's not what I'm doing. I'm playing for the parents, yeah?
I know you listen to Taylor Swift on the down low, bro. I know you listen to Taylor. That's your alarm clock, Charles. That's your alarm clock. Charles, you know why you left? Because that's your alarm clock, bro. That's how you get up. Don't even come look at me like that.
yeah, it's a selection. Don't even like, it's like, yeah, it's knowing exactly who you're playing for and when to play the record. That's is this is what the essence of like what makes a good DJ. It's kind of like having these records and play them at the right time. You see what I mean? Like, we all have the same records. We can all do the same shit. But what makes the difference between you and me is that I will know when to play that record to get these people going. Do you see what I mean? The aim of the game, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is my philosophy. That's just me, right? But the aim of the game is to keep people wanting for more.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? So, and the only way you can do that is be smart enough to have, like, enough music to play for 4 or 5 hours to keep the people going. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's all good to play the hit at the beginning, but why are you going to play the end?
Yeah.
What everybody plays? You know what I mean? It's just like, makes no point. Makes absolutely no sense. You really need to be, like, on point when it comes to selection. You know, I would say, like, to every single DJ who are listening or whatever, it's like, if you start DJing, forget about scratching. Forget about that. You know what I mean? Like, the first thing you need to do selection. Is that literally sit down, work out a playlist. Work out a playlist, literally. Try to understand BPM. Work out a playlist. I remember when I started DJing, it was all about the vision. I had a vision that, right, if I were in a club right now and I was DJing, why would I play for the start? And I would have my little kind of like, right, this is going to be the warm-up selection, and then I would play this. So I would kind of like recreating what I would be doing in the club. Do you see what I'm saying? So obviously, the minute I was in the club, all that fear factor of playing in front of people was out the window because I've done the warm-up so much in my house that I was like, oh, cool, now I can do any warm-up. I can do it. And again, like, I'm going back to the same example. Charles, go away, motherfucker. You heard that shit a million times. Fuck off. But anyway, that is like football. It's literally like football. Like, you have to think as a DJ, like a footballer. Yeah. Footballers don't just turn up on some Saturday, 3 o'clock, and hey, let's go and run around. Okay? They train a week. Literally, they train. They do that fucking physio and shit. They train a week. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then literally on the day, when it comes before the game, before the peak hour, there's something, yo, I have to warm up. I have to warm up the muscle. And it's the same when you are in a club. When you are in a club, is, yo, like, okay, so people are arriving in a club. I need to warm them up. I need to make sure that when it comes to the peak hour, which is later, but they're ready for it. You know what I mean? So my thing, I mean, is just like, I think, who told me that again? I think it was DJ Swing or Tim Westwood. I think it was Tim Westwood. He was like, his main thing, I said, because I met him years ago, and he was like, make sure you make each and every single woman in this club sing along or tap their feet when they get to the club.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? He was like, no. It's like, the minute you see a group of chicks coming into that club,
make sure they're dancing straight away.
Even if, like, no, not even dancing. Forget about dancing. I'm talking about, like, even if they're sitting down, play some stuff so all of them can sing along together. Because psychologically, is that it's become, like, group psychology. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sort of like, yo, like, make sure chicks are having a good time the minute they get into the club by playing stuff that they know.
Yeah.
Don't try to be smart about it and give them some, like, Playboy Carti track number 4. Fuck that.
Track number 4.
You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't try to, like, on some playing some future track 11 from the mixtape came out on some DJ. No, yo, fuck that. No. Keep it commercial. Keep it simple. You see what I mean? Like,
girls don't overcomplicate it in your head.
You know what I mean? Like, girls want to dance. Make them dance. Literally. Like, make them
But that dance. comes with experience, though, as well. Because, like, obviously, if you're an up-and-coming DJ and you're seeing loads of people, you're like, oh, I need to throw this banger, but it's not even...
No. All right, that is... Okay, so then that... No. Okay. And this is what I mean, okay? Most young DJs will come and say, yeah, look, you know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, I've got that track. Yeah, well, we all have it.
We all have it.
I mean, no, but we all have it, bro. You know what I mean? But if you know how to do a warm-up by playing some track that are on the big, Yeah. And if you're an up-and-coming DJ, understand that I will have way more respect for you if you know how to make people dance by playing random track than playing bangers. Mm. Because I'd be like, okay, cool. Yeah, you actually know how to DJ. Then. You actually understand the psychology of a dark room, because that's what it is. It's the psychology of being in a dark room with a few lights or whatever. You understand it. And that is a game changer, because once you know how to do that, you can go to do like bigger set. You know what I mean? I've been doing warm-up set. I remember I was doing warm-up set for like 5 years before I get a main set. And I was doing warm-up set for like, like literally four or five.
Was this in the West End, or was it, where is this? In the West End.
Well, in the West End, in Clemens, like Wood Green, Finsbury Park, like everywhere. Like Brixton, everywhere. And so I'm like, I was doing warm-up. Because obviously, like, then what happened is that DJs that were playing after me, they were on some, that guy is literally driving people crazy by just doing a warm-up. Okay? So can you imagine what that guy can do if he's doing a main set?
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm. You have to build it up.
This is how powerful that shit is. It's kind of like, if you can do a warm-up and drive them crazy, can you imagine if you do a main set? Do you see what I mean? And especially if you're doing that warm-up, playing some random shit, it's like, whoa, okay, that guy can DJ.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And that's the key. And today, it's very hard to find good warm-up DJs, because they all have that belief that I need to play some bangers. Woo! I'm like, yo, bro, all right, cool. Okay. We can all do that, bro. Like,
yeah.
We can all do that. We can all play bangers. Believe me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even get pissed off, but like, it's just like, it's a warm-up. People are rabbing it, bro. It's like, again, to go back to the example of a footballer, it's like, well, okay, I'm a footballer, and I haven't trained nothing, but right now you want me to go and score 10 goals. How? I haven't warmed up yet. I'm just getting onto it. Like, bro, I'm just getting the pitch. Like, how does that work?
Definitely.
It makes no sense.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this as well. Why is it that the West End scene is run mainly by French? No, I want to. It's a serious question. It's a serious question. Like, why is it?
I don't know. But
well, you should know. You've been there for... Ask Charles, you've been there for 18 years.
I'm going to tell you my vision. Okay? Right. Again, for me, the way I see it is... all comes down to culture, okay? In France, back in the 80s and 90s, we had some amazing DJ like DJ Posca, DJ Cut Killer. These guys influence all of these French DJ that you hear today, like DJ Snake or whatever. Those guys, they influence each and every single one of us, because when they came out, when DJ Cut Killer came out, for example, he was traveling to New York, okay? And you know, in France, we have... Marseille and Paris. Marseille, you had a group of hip-hop called I Am. And again, they had amazing DJ and stuff. Charles, what was the name of that DJ with I Am? Charles, what was the name of the DJ with I Am? I Am DJ. Who's that play?
I Am DJ?
Yeah. I Am DJ. Fucking hell. Imhotep or whatever. Anyway, fuck it, his name. Anyway. Anyway, if you remember that. C'est quoi le nom DJ de I Am? Yeah, anyway. So anyway, these guys, they had a big New York influence, because in Marseille, it's a big port in the south of France. You had American soldiers coming down, and they had mixtape. Mm-hmm. And this mixtape, they had like all these big DJs, like DJ Clue, like, you know what I mean? Like, all of these big DJs and stuff, like on some, Keops, here we go. Keops, DJ Keops, right? And these guys, their production level was insane. Okay? All right? Yeah. Insane. So, you have to understand, when you're a kid, when you're like 13 or 12, between like, you're a teenager, and you are listening to these guys, and you are listening to how they DJ, you're like, oh my God, if I'm DJing, I better be on that level. Do you see what I mean? I better be on that level, right? Now, over here in England, you don't have that many DJs. I mean, you had the kind of, you do have UK hip hop, okay? But not as strong as French hip hop. And that comes down to only one reason, okay? Mm-hmm. Back in the 80s, you had Low. from a culture minister, okay? It was like, well, everything is being very Americanized, okay, on TV and on radio, because on most radio stations, they were playing, like, you know, like American music and British music or whatever, okay? Yeah. That's back in the 80s, 90s. So obviously, the French artist did not have a platform, right? So then, when he passed the law, he wanted to have 40% of French music on radio, okay? So radio programmers turned around and they were just like, wait a minute, where are we going to find 40% of French music? So they look at the market and they saw all these guys that I am, NTM, all these guys, whatever. They had some French hip-hop. So they were just like, right, we're going to bet everything on that. We're going to put literally French hip-hop on national radio station. So can you imagine, for example, if you had like what you see, what you hear right now on the radio on Capital Extra, we had that back in the 80s, back in the 90s in France. Do you see what I mean? So obviously, like, that took the level to like the level of DJing, the level of producing, the level of kind of like making music video to like, I mean, literally we could, honestly, because I was back in France back in the 90s, and you could see, like, you could hear with the way these guys were rapping on some, like, we are taking over this shit. We're here to stay, and we are taking over this shit. On no shame, on some no shame shit, right? Yeah. So once that happened, you have to understand these guys were going on tour. So when they were going on tour, imagine if you compare it to over here, let's say you have a guy like Tiny Tampa that would come and be on some, right, I'm gonna go to Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, Brighton, whatever, whatever. And they would come with some amazing DJ, and that influenced kids. So these kids, they go home, they train, they do their shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But then what happened? They come, they're like, well, guess what? I can go and DJ in the pub in a corner. I can go and DJ in a club in a corner because I have that influence of Cut Killer and Chaos and all these DJs or whatever. Now, here's the thing, right? In England, you never had that. Because remember, everything here has been, well, it's not about America. It's not about America. Yeah. It's not about, like, you know, it's not about, like, American hip-hop and UK hip-hop.
It's basically until now is when we've actually started realizing we can actually rule it.
Right. No, it's not that. But here's what happened. It's kind of like, the reason why people were saying that is because they were comparing themselves.
Yeah.
And they had nowhere to get on national radio station. You had amazing UK hip-hop rappers, but they didn't have a platform of entry. Do you see what I mean? Because obviously they were being eaten by the Americans. But in France, what happened, because of that law, they had to produce they had to produce French rappers. They had to produce good and bad French rappers. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now what's going on today is kind of like people are realizing, wow, with YouTube and the social media, they're like, wow, there is a market right now for all of these young UK hip-hop rappers. So now they're waking up to it because obviously kids on some, your radio is cool, but we go on YouTube and it's just amazing because we can relate to those rappers. These rappers are relating one of our message. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now, when it comes to this, now to go back to your question of why do we have so many like French DJs, like not even in London, but when you look at New York, when you look at Miami or all over like these big countries or whatever, the reason why we can actually compete with all these American or even kind of like British DJ, and you have a lot of British DJs, a lot of amazing British DJs, is because we have that history of hip hop with us.
Yeah.
But also another thing as well, is the world culture of champagne show, whatever, started in the south of France.
That's what I was just about to say as well. Is it a culture thing as well?
That started in the south of France. You know what I mean? So a lot of club owners, obviously, they thought, well, it's very simple. In the south of France, you have such a concentration of wealth, especially between Cannes, Monaco, the festival, Saint-Tropez, whatever. A lot of the club owners, they thought, well, guess what? We need to get some of these French DJs because they are literally open to the world. And it's true, when you go to Cannes, when you go to Nice, when you go to Saint-Tropez, you DJ there, you have clients from all over the world, okay? And obviously, as a French DJ, as a DJ, you have to play for them on some, like, well, guess what? Like, okay, cool, well, I've got the guy from Azerbaijan, I've got a guy from China, I've got a guy from there, I've got a guy from there. They want to hear their stuff, they want to hear the shit, right? So you're exposed to that. You see what I mean? Now, when you go to a club in central London, clubs in central London is based on that. It's based on tourism. is based on that guy. Is based on that guy that is coming from, I don't know, a rich family in Switzerland that is now in the club and is like, well, I want to hear my shit from Switzerland. Do you have any, like, you know, like Switzerland hip hop? You're like, well, you can't do that. You're like, well, yeah, I do have some and I know exactly what's going on. Do you see what I mean? That's the big difference. Okay, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, cool. Okay, wait, wait. Yeah, yeah, sorry. But yeah, that's the only reason why. It's nothing technical. It's nothing, we're not better than British DJ. We're not better than American DJ and everything. Yeah. It's just that a lot of club owners, they understand the market and they're like, right, okay, cool. In this market in particular, if we have a French DJ that kind of like do the research and go and play, what is the number one track in Italy right now? What is the number one track in Spain right now? What is this, you know what I mean? What are they doing? Because obviously, the more you travel, the more you get influenced by that.
Mm. But is that also because you see how in other countries, not just France, but just in other countries outside Europe, you're made to learn at least two languages, right? And in the UK... Well, okay, so with the UK, yeah, we basically, it's English, yeah? And then you learn up to primary school and then you can choose. But in other countries, it's like, it's embedded in school that you have to learn another language. So does that help it? Because they're realizing that, okay, so let's say you're from France. They're like, okay, he must have learned either Spanish, English or German or whatever in school. So he might have listened to these songs as well so he could help the clientele.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would say yes and no. For example, if you have kids today and you go to a school, they will say to you, well, you're going to learn French because this is the newest country. This is our neighbor country. We're going to learn French, okay? That's the first thing, okay? The thing is, I don't know how it works at university, but nobody will push you to go and work in France for a year and learn French.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Like, nobody will tell you, hey, you should go and work and live in Barcelona for a year and learn how to speak Spanish.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? It's kind of like, it's a decision you need to make for yourself. Now, kids today, they are some, guess what? Yeah, I'm going for a year traveling. I'm going to go to Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Australia. Okay. All right, cool. Well, yeah, but you staying in that market. Like, why would you be doing that? Do you see what I mean? Like, there's so much like out there you could actually go and do and learn a different language. Now, a lot of DJs over here, they're like, well, okay. If I'm a DJ, I want to go and DJ in Ibiza. Okay, but you know you have other islands.
Yeah.
You know you have other places to go. You know what I'm saying? But because of the, I would say the media, they push that for towards the British and some Ibiza is a place to be. You need to go to Ibiza. You need to go and DJ in Ibiza, whatever. And you're just like, yeah, but you have so many other places you could go to and DJ. Why would you be stuck on that?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? But when you're in France, you're some like, right, I want to go and DJ in Miami. I want to go and DJ in Norway. I want to go and DJ in Sweden. I want to go and DJ there. You see what I mean? Like, it's totally different. They have a totally different view of what and where you can go and DJ. That's what it is.
You know what? It's fascinating here that about like the whole French rap scene that, you know, they kind of learned that why are we even looking at other people? We need to focus on ourselves first because that's interesting to learn about that. Like, that, and that's probably why you guys have ended up here. And big DJs, big promoters, big managers, like whoever, artists, this is why they're all ending up in these countries like America, UK, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And as you can see as well, you know, obviously you may not know, but literally, I mean, if you were to put a music TV channel in France, you would see that, I mean, 50% of American rappers are doing featuring with French rappers.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I'm talking about like the big ones, huh? Like Drake, Future, whatever. They are doing literally stuff with them. But now, it's literally like maybe up to last year, UK hip hop is on that level. You see what I mean? Or something like, now they are looking at like what's going on in England and they're like, yeah, okay, cool. Like we can live with that. We can deal with these guys because these guys now, they do have a market. They have their own market and they can develop their own stuff. So this is how important it is to kind of like, go out there and be like, right, okay, this is what's going on in the UK and we can develop it ourselves because the market there. The market has always been there. But with social media, that changed everything. You see what I mean? That literally changed absolutely everything.
So you guys have looked at like what they've done and you're replicating it in the DJ scene, basically.
Literally. Literally. That's literally all it. You know what I mean? Like, what they've done, like, what they've done back in the 80s and 90s in France is, yeah, like, literally what's happening here. But you had, I mean, again, over here, but just to go back to the whole DJ thing, okay? An example, Tim Westwood, great DJ on the microphone.
Yeah.
His microphone game is undeniable. The guy is just like, yes. When it comes to the actual DJing, which is the selection, in the club is amazing. On radio, he's not. But, like, in the club, he's just like, Tim Westwood, respect all day. You know what I mean? The guy's like, legend, no. Like, no. But the thing is that if you've been influenced by somebody that is not on the level of maybe, I don't know, like DJ Premier or whatever in your own country, is, yeah, that how can you develop that here? Is that over here you have Manu Naughty, you have guys like, now you have guys like Martin Too Smooth, that you have guys that are technically absolutely amazing. I'm thinking about Shorty Blitz. For me, Shorty Blitz is just like, yeah, but my idol over here, I mean, those two are dead. It's just that one was DJ Swing and the other was Dr. Psycho. But Shorty Blitz was like, yo, it was on the level of French DJs 30 years ago. And he's still on that level. And he's still on top. Because technically, and his selection, everything about him is just like, yo, like, next level. You see what I mean? So this is what I'm saying. Is the more DJs you will have like him, like Martin, like Andy, do you see what I mean? Like British DJs who are absolute, like DJ Policy. DJ Policy, amazing DJ. You know what I mean? Scratch selection, everything. All these guys from Hip Hop Brunch and stuff, amazing DJs. But the more you will have DJs like that playing on bigger platform, the more you will see that you will see more British DJ playing the Western.
Okay, so with these bigger platforms, how do we even, how does that even come about? Like, do we have to forge that path? Or is it already been forged? Or
you have to do it yourself. You have to do it yourself. Honestly, for me, it's just that you have, if when you're good, people will come and find you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, people will come and find you. Don't even worry about that. As long as you put yourself out there, people will come and find you. This is as simple as that. You see what I mean? But again, remember, it's all about your attitude. Do you know what I mean? People will want to work with you if you have the right attitude. Listen, there's a DJ in France, for example. He used to play, I mean, he's still DJing for a big hip-hop group, okay? One of the best DJ in France, but no one wants to work with him. So that guy's never done any TV, any radio, anything. Nobody wants to do anything with the guy. You see what I mean? But it's just...
Is that because of his attitude to the thing?
It's attitude to his collaborators, to the people he's working with. Nobody wants to work with a dick. Do you see what I mean? Nobody wants that. You know what I mean? You need to have... You just need to be normal. Be approachable. Be nice. Be cool. Do you see what I mean? Once you have that, yo, people will want to work with you. That's undeniable.
Definitely. I think it's, you got to stay humble. In this game especially. Like, people don't realize it's a game. It is actually a game. Because, and you probably know that more than, like, better than anyone else. Like, one day a promoter can turn up to you and be like, okay, I don't want you.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do, basically?
Listen, it's business. You see what I mean? This is what I mean. It's kind of like, you have to work on your ego. You know what I mean? You shouldn't look at it on some, like, by the way, oh, listen, I got sacked from, like, literally, like, 100 clubs. So what? Do you see what I mean? If you know your own worth, it's like, all right, cool. You don't like what I'm doing in your club? Like, fine, cool.
Yeah.
I go and play somewhere else. Fine. Do you see what I mean? It's always thinking, like, going forward. And so, okay, cool, what's next? But sometimes, I was talking about that the other day, is that you have to create your own luck.
Yeah.
It's not about, like, people. Some people might be here and be like, oh, yeah, it's lucky. There's no luck about that. You see what I'm saying? There's no luck. There's zero luck about what I do today in the West End or in my life.
So you don't believe in luck?
Zero luck to it. I know. I don't believe in that. The people who actually believe that are kind of like, it's just delusional. There's no luck. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I deserve whatever is happening to me today. Simple.
Yeah.
I deserve each and every single penny that I've got in my bank account today. Simple. I deserve it. I put the hours. I put the effort. Do you see what I mean? While some people might be in their house with their girl every night or whatever, I was out there in the club listening to the guest DJ for a good 10 to 15 years. I was, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm calling DJs, hey, do you want to go and play somewhere, whatever? No, no, I'm busy tonight. I'm watching Netflix. Okay.
Man said I'm busy watching Netflix.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of, for me, I'm like, well, it might be an opportunity. Not even for me. Because right now, I'm not even looking at that. Because right now, I'm a DJ, I'm an agent, and I'm doing a whole heap of other stuff. But sometimes I would go and DJ in a place, and then I'd be like, right, the place is good. The business is solid. The money's coming in. Cool. I can bring other DJs. Do you see what I mean? Mm. More than like, I don't want to go and DJ there. I'm too big for that.
If you get too big for your boots, then you ain't getting it, basically.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's just for me, I'm like, yo, like, the only reason why I managed to get in a relationship with most club owners is because, A, I stayed humble. Yeah. I stay humble. Like, yo, listen, like, I come, you ask me to do a job, I will be, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Simple. Yeah. I'm going to make sure that I play like this is the last time I'm playing in this club. Simple.
Mm.
That's my philosophy. Again, that's just me. Right? Yeah. But you have to understand, a lot of people, they don't have that attitude. They're on some like, I'm here this week, I'm here next week, whatever, whatever. It becomes a bit like, a bit whatever. My thing is just like, yo, like, that shit might stop tomorrow.
Mm.
So you have to enjoy it. But what I'm saying is, you have a lot of guys out there, they don't want to make the sacrifices. They don't want to spend the time. They don't want to spend the research. They don't want to go out.
Yeah.
Literally, just go out to listen to the next DJ, to the next guy. They don't want to fucking do that. So it's kind of like, well, if you don't want to do that, what makes you think you deserve a bigger...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What makes you think that? You need to literally humble yourself and tell yourself, you know what? Actually, like, yeah, like, no, I can't do that. On dit quoi, Kim? You know what I mean? I can't do that. You know what I mean? I really can't do that and stuff. And yeah, this is it. For a lot of people, they don't get that, but they don't get, but they call you to do this, they call you to do that. I said, yeah, but I built a relationship with them years and years and years ago. And I always turn up on time. And I don't get drunk. And I don't swear at anyone. And I'm taking every single request. So what you saying?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, what you saying now? You know, like, that's the reality of it. And a lot of people just don't get it.
So going back to when you were talking about Charles, like how his selection's on point, what genre do you want to focus on now? Like what genres are you weak on and what type of music? That,
for me, obviously, like you have the world reggaeton and stuff and everything, but like I reckon for me, I think this year what's going to come back big, UK hip hop. Now it's here now. It's here to stay. And it's going to stay a long time. And it's going to stay a long time.
Definitely. I know it's popping off in the clubs. Definitely.
Listen, like, literally now, I mean, I remember, okay? I mean, fuck me. I'm talking like it was like 20 years ago. Fuck that. It was only 3 months ago, right?
Anyway. I remember back in the day. Back in the day. you're actually old. You're old, okay?
Like, literally. No. Honestly. But, yeah, UK hip-hop, bro. Like, UK hip-hop is just... The minute you was playing a banger, like, that was it. Because people can relate to it. These guys are from here. Do you see what I mean? These guys are from here. People can relate to it. Yeah, hip-hop, yeah. Definitely. And you hear it now on the radio. When you put in the radio, now you can hear it. Like, people are requesting it.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to Spotify, it would have been, like, 2-3 years ago. I would have been on some... Yeah, now it's just... No.
Everyone's requesting Drake 2-3 years ago. Now they're requesting... I don't know, like AJ Tracy or I don't know, something like that.
Listen, straight. AJ Tracy, straight. Like, let's go. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but they can relate to it. Of course they're going to ask for it. You see what I mean? Like, I would say, like, if you know your bangers in UK hip hop, if you know what kids are. You're going to be good.
Bro, we nearly lasted and then you started cutting out. Don't tell me you're cutting out now. Don't we nearly lasted, bro. We nearly lasted. Nah, but bro, this is always a good chat, man. This is always a good chat with you. Like, it's always good. I'm always learning something, like, which is good. You know, I'm learning so many different things with you. Then, like, this is no offense to other DJs. Like, I'm learning things, but like with you, I'm learning a whole different side of DJ in that sense. A whole different side. Like, I'm learning the business aspect of it as well, which is what you said, it is a business at the end of the day.
It's a business. You know, this is where a lot of people, a lot of musicians, sometimes they are getting agents and they are getting managers and stuff because it is a business. If you don't get there, if you don't kind of like tackle it as a business, then like you won't be able, it would be a hobby for about a year or two. Then you're just going to kind of like fizzle off and be an accountant or like, you know, open, I don't know, like, you know, coffee shop around the corner or something. You know what I mean?
Mm. J'ai besoin de set, un set de libertine après.
Well, listen, like, right now, we don't know. You see, again, like...
Nothing, avec Charles ou toi?
No. You have to understand. You really have to understand, right? In this market, anything can change. Yeah. Nothing is set in stone. You have a lot of amazing DJs out there. Do you see what I'm saying? You have a lot definitely. Of amazing DJs, right? Cool. Right now, I'm doing Libertine. I'm doing Maddox. I'm doing also that restaurant with Milan, Vibe, Monkey House, which is good. I was supposed to do Void in Mykonos this summer, but obviously with what's happening, it's not happening.
But you'll probably get it next year, though. Like, easy. Sorry? You'll probably get that next year, though.
Well, I hope and stuff, but anything changes. You see what I'm saying? Like, Libertine might turn around tomorrow. Like, Maddox might turn around tomorrow and be awesome. You know what, Jojo? We had a good run. You've been with us for like 5-6 years, and now we decided that we're gonna use this guy. Okay, cool. Thank you very much. Next. You see what I'm saying? That's my attitude. That's how I see it. You know, for a lot of people, they would turn around and be like, oh, no, you don't love me. Oh, it's because I'm black. You don't like me.
It's because I'm black.
What the fuck? You know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with that. No, but it's got nothing to do with that. Mm. It's business. You have to tackle it as a business.
Yeah.
More than anything. You see what I mean? And be also cool, no problem. You know, that's it. Next.
All right, bro. Take care, though, man. Like, great conversation, you know, as always.
You are. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, but thank you, bro. Like, I really appreciate this all the time. Like, I appreciate all of this.
You're welcome. All right.
Thank you. Take care, yeah?
Take care, bro.
All right, see you, bro. Bye. What? Bye. What? What? What do you want to... Oh, okay. Right, see you guys later. I'm back at what time? 6. Back at 6 o'clock.